Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
And good evening, our fellow lovers of love out there. And I don't know why I'm talking like a vampire.
Good evening.
Man, I don't know where that one came from. But anyway, are you looking for some honest and helpful advice on your love life? Apparently from a vampire. And you want to hear real stories and insights from people who face some real challenges and dilemmas as you. If so, tune into this episode of Late Night Love, where we answer your questions on life, love, relationships. And those include work relationships as well. So Hang around for that segment. And so, you know, we're tackling some of the most common and intriguing questions that people ask tonight from Reddit. And I have some other ones lined up. So they're going to get interesting in the next few months as we intertwine our experiences into opinions on these topics to help you improve your communication, intimacy, and trust in your relationship. You can tell I spent some time with this one.
Yes.
Yeah. Whether you are in a personal or professional relationship, you will find something viable and relatable in each and every episode. And of course, I'm changing it on the fly.
Yeah.
Because of course I am. So grab some coffee, your favorite adult refreshment, or just a cozy blanket. Sit down, curl up, and spend some time with us here at Late Night Love. All right. So where are we starting tonight, me lovey?
Well, we're going to start off with relationships. Okay, my male 21 girlfriend, female 20, got drunk at a New Year's Eve party and kissed her friends in front of me. Am I allowed to be upset?
Well, I mean, are you allowed? Well, you're upset. It's really got nothing to do whether you're allowed to. It's what you do with that upset, right? Upset, yeah. It is an emotion. You're going to have an emotional reaction. The question is, what do you do with that emotional reaction?
Well, he's young. He's 21.
Yeah. And you know what type of kid? Was it a goofy New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Guest?
I mean, just,
you know, and maybe.
Happy New Year. Click back.
You know, but here's the question. Maybe the bigger question is, stop getting drunk all the time and doing stupid things you're going to regret later. Maybe in the long run. That's the actual lesson to learn here. Yes, you have, I mean, you're upset. The question is, what do you do with it? Is it a big enough ordeal where that upset carries on and something needs to be dealt with in the relationship? Or is it the type of upset where you were drunk yourself, you had an emotional reaction, and you carried over because that's what emotional reactions can do? And so you're just going to have to make a decision on how upset you actually are, how deep that is. You know, and then maybe reconsider your relationship with alcohol would actually be my biggest suggestion.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What's next?
30 female. My girlfriend wets the bed, and this is the third time. What's wrong with her?
Well,
she needs to go see a doctor.
Or she needs to stop drinking.
Again,
back to the alcohol. There's the two things. Either you've either got a medical problem that needs to be dealt with, because at 30, that's uncommon unless you have a medical issue, or you're drinking too much and you don't realize that, and you're just essentially passed out and not sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a different thing. So it's one of those two. Either one, she probably could use some help. It's just different help. Yeah. And she's going to have to be open to it for either one. So this is where relationships get true and real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know,
this is the real stuff, folks.
This is the part where it's hard. They're dealing with some kind of issue, whether it's a medical issue, and then you have to be compassionate, kind, and empathetic because it's a medical issue. It's not their fault. Or they're dealing with an addiction issue that you're going to have to be dealt with kindness, compassionate, but also firmness. And so, you know, I wish you well. I wish you well. Okay, what's next?
Anyway, I, 30 female, can get my husband, 31 male, to stop always waiting for me to tell him what to do.
Okay, is there a bit more of a, was there any more background?
No.
Oh, wow, I'm a couple questions behind on my thing. That's an interesting question because it kind of depends on the nature of your relationship. He may be waiting for you to tell him what to do. You know, is he actually waiting for you to tell him what to do? Or is he waiting you know, or do you think he should be doing things? You know, he's off doing his own things, but you have your own list of the priorities you want for him. And so he doesn't do your priorities until you tell him, because he's got his own priority list. You know, he's his own human being. Or it could be that, you know, he is, maybe he's a man child. He goes to work, he comes home, he's perfectly happy to do whatever you ask him to do. But you need to ask him because he doesn't know. We're men, we're relatively simple. And, you know, maybe he doesn't know. We don't actually take hints very well. You actually, sometimes you actually have to tell us. She doesn't seem like he doesn't do what she asks. She just has to wait. Until
he's just constantly waiting.
But maybe he's not waiting.
He's not.
He has his own priorities. And so you need to figure out a way to get him into his priorities. I mean, it's different. Is he sitting back drinking beer and eating pizza until you ask him to go mow the lawn? Or is he out mowing the lawn, tinkering in the garage, engaging in his hobby? And then you say, hey, can you go, you know, wash the windows or mop the floors or whatever it is she needs him to do at the moment. These are, you know, those are two actually different things. Those are two vastly different things, you know, and maybe the problem is her expectations. Again, we've dealt with this, right? Expectations are different.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get to it. You just don't give him time.
Well, I had to adjust myself to what I call gym time.
It's not that these things don't make my priorities, but, you know, I have other priorities that need to get slotted in there as well. And you know, and part of those priorities is your your own sanity. You know, sometimes it's, I just want to be, you know, sometimes people just want to get home and relax for an hour and a half before they start engaging things. And you should say, I'll get to it before I go to bed. Most of the time they will. Not occasionally they'll forget, but it's forgetfulness, not spite, right? Yeah. And so you want it done as soon as he gets home. He's perfectly happy to do it, but he waits until before he goes to bed. And so the question is, you know, he's his own human being. He gets to make these decisions. Or is he just being lazy and is essentially is treating you like his mother because he doesn't know any better? You know, if he went from his mother's to his wife, he maybe not know any better. And so he's waiting for direction because he literally doesn't want to know. And there is a third option. She could be a bit of a shrew, and so he's not going to do anything wrong, so he's not going to do anything. He's afraid of doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. So rather than have that issue, he does nothing until he's told.
That's no way to live.
If you love your spouse, you're willing to do it. Because it makes her happy. Even though she's unhappy, but the reason she would be unhappy is different. So, there's not enough information for me to have.
Okay.
And I can't quite... Something about a strip club. I can't see it. I need my glasses. All right, we'll move on. I'll try to read those here at the end of the show. How's that? We'll do a little extra time. We'll get some questions at the end of the show, some audience questions. I think there's a legitimate question in there, maybe. All right, what's next? We're going to have to get those up. All right.
Well, our question is...
Well, I can bring it up, but I don't want to bring it up to
him. It's how it's phrased. He gets excited with his wife, but he doesn't get excited at the strip club.
Yeah.
Is something wrong with him?
Well, if you consider loving your wife being something wrong with you, then yes. But the answer is no. You love your wife. You are matured past the point where... the simple exposition of flesh, the simple pleasures of that type of existence are no longer what interests you. What interests you is the deep connection you have with your wife. You have matured, my friend. Congratulations. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, congratulations for you know, moving on. Okay, what's next?
Okay, I can't read that.
No, just we're on the next.
Oh, on ours?
Yeah.
Okay. And, my 25 female, mother-in-law, 60 female, wants everyone to take a lie detector test because someone gave her dog food at her Christmas party.
Okay, let me rephrase this.
Okay, the dog got
Hold on. You confuse people. A 25-year-old woman is upset, legitimately so, because her 60-year-old mother-in-law wants everybody to take a lie detector test because her dog somehow got some people food at the Christmas party.
Yes.
And her assumption is that someone gave her dog this food rather than the food was dropped or the dog snuck it or something else.
Yes.
Yeah, tell her to pound sand. That's the easiest question it is. Dogs shouldn't have people food, especially at Christmas parties, because there's kind of all kinds of food they shouldn't get. But also, if food's going to get dropped, you know, children are going to feed the dog because they don't know any better. And you're making a bad situation worse by trying to, which, you know, the mother-in-law here is doing, is making a bad situation worse, right? Rather than just dealing with it.
Well, the dog got sick and she's upset.
You can understand that, but you're going to now make everybody else upset, including herself, because the conversations now are not going to go well. So now she's going to get mad at half of her family. And so, you know, you're just making a bad situation where sometimes you just got to take these kind of things on the chin. You let everybody know that the dog got sick because it got food on the thing. And the person's going to feel, if someone actually did it, they're going to feel bad enough. Likely it's a child. It's either, you know, dogs snatch food. You know, if someone's not looking, a dog will snap some food. So, you know, the dog may not be an angel in this particular one either.
Yeah.
So there's always that. So you're never going to know. And lie detector tests aren't accurate. And it's a lot of money and time and upsetness. And you're still not going to know. So, yeah, tell her to pound sand. But do it as nicely as possible. Yeah. All right, what's next?
Male 34, female 32. My girlfriend broke my heart yesterday at our New Year's Eve party by telling everyone in the room private details about her ex-boyfriend. And I'm feeling completely lost now. Why? I don't understand him.
Well, unless the questions were that her ex-boyfriend was, shall we say, better in the sack.
Oh.
And then, you know, she was talking up her ex-boyfriend in certain areas and then was feeling insecure. That would be the thing, and the only way to resolve this is actually just go to her and talk to her about it, and you'll figure out what it's about one way or the other relatively quickly.
Yeah.
My guess is she was having a conversations with some, you know, some of her girlfriends, and you're not meant to hear those things. And quite frankly, there's conversations we're not meant to hear. You know, she has every right.
No.
She has every right to express her feelings to her friends. And
we get pretty graphic.
And sometimes there's things that we are better off not knowing. But if you do know, but you know, if you happen to catch them, you happen to catch them. And, you know, just don't go into the conversation as accusatory. Just say, I felt hurt. And
yeah.
Okay. What's we got next?
Okay. My 24 female boyfriend, 27 male, isn't allowing us to open Christmas gifts because of an argument yesterday.
Okay, so obviously this is a week or so old. But
yeah, so he's upset.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want to open Christmas gifts until he's feeling better. And she's like, come on, let's open Christmas gifts. We'll feel better.
Well, he somehow at 27, he's not mature enough to know that you can be upset in a relationship, but there's certain things that you don't bring that upsetness into. You don't bring that upsetness into an anniversary. You don't bring that upsetness into Thanksgiving. You don't bring that upsetness into Christmas celebrations. You park that for that day, right?
Yeah.
Or as best you can. Sometimes you go in through the motions, but you know what? That's what relationships are about. Sometimes you go through the motions, and you know what? In a sense, she is right. Going through the motions of the relationship help reset it.
Yeah.
You know, so she is correct that, you know, going through these motions will help reset the, because sometimes there's arguments you can't really resolve, right? There's no resolve. They're not get deal breakers, but there's no resolve resolution.
We have about 20 issues sitting on the shelf. And about every year or so, we bring this. One of them, we're in a car. One of them comes on a car trip. One of them gets to come down off a shelf, and we look at it again. Nope. We still don't agree. Okay, back up on the shelf.
Still don't agree. Is it important yet? No, not. Is it that important yet? No, not yet. Okay, well, we'll deal with it later. And, you know, it's just what it is, because, you know, relationships are hard. And if you fight every battle, you're just going to be fighting.
Constantly.
So don't do that. Oh, man, I'm still behind again. I got to get better at this. Okay. All right, so where are we at?
Okay.
There we go. Okay. So what's next?
Female, 27 female, told by 31 male that he's bisexual 20 days before the wedding. They've been together 4 years and he brings this up now.
Well, yes, but, you know, being bisexual and practicing your bisexuality are two vastly different things. And he didn't want to go into the marriage still holding that back, because the reason he held it back, because he was afraid of her reaction. Which, of course, ends up creating a stronger reaction. It's a self-fulfilling thing. But, but you know, the question is, how big of a deal is it for both of you?
I mean, I'm bisexual, yeah. And I make a choice.
Yeah, there's a...
You know, it's just like being straight. And you choose to be with one person.
Yeah, there's no difference.
There's no difference at all.
There's no difference at all. So the question is he committed? Was he just, you know, essentially like getting this off of his chest so he no longer has to hide this part of himself? You know, it's never going to be active again, but at least he can acknowledge its existence openly. And
you know, that also means he's going to be attracted to other women from time to time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't change his ethical moral code. that's the same as it's always going to be. So, yeah. So that's the question is, does it change your views of him? Right or wrong, that's not an issue here, but does it? Right? I'm not making value judgments, but it may. And it has nothing to do with whether he may or may not, you know, stray outside the bounds of the relationship. She may never be able to look at him the same way again.
Well,
that would be sad, but
you don't look at them the same way, but that doesn't mean you look at them any less.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll take that for real. Semantics, if I argue with it. So I'm not going to argue with semantics. There's no point.
You look at what I'm saying is sometimes looking at someone for who they really are is
that's
a blessing. You get to know who they really are.
Well, and this is actually probably what she's more upset about, and she hasn't realized this yet, is there was part of him that she didn't know who he was.
Yeah. He withheld for all those years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and is he fundamentally
which begs
different?
The question, okay, what else?
Yeah.
You know.
Probably nothing. Well, no more than any other human being. You can't dump everybody, all of your inner humanity on someone in 4 years. It can't happen. It just doesn't. It takes longer than that.
Yeah.
So, and especially when you're dealing with something that he probably hasn't pronounced to the world, you're probably the only person that knows. Well, except for, you know, the person back in college that he was interested in. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's no different than a month before your wedding, you guys start talking about, you know, okay, what is your real number? That kind of thing. And it's a number that surprises you for one reason or another. You know, maybe it's low, maybe it's high. Right, it's not really that much different. It's just a new bit of information. Okay, what's next?
Okay, my boyfriend, 23 male, kissed his homie, 22 male, on New Year's Eve instead of me. Okay, and this homie went, ha ha ha, I stole your New Year's Eve kiss, and they both laughed at her. She's pissed.
Okay, well, this is because guys and girls have a vastly different view on that New Year's thing.
Well, it means the person you first person you kiss is if you kiss them on New Year's Eve, then you'll be with them next year.
Okay, you know, we have no idea what you people are talking about when you say this kind of thing. That's not a thing in male culture. It's just not a thing in male culture. Okay, and you can tell us this. This is why you have to tell us every single year, because we have absolutely no clue. Now, is it a little crass? Probably. You know, he should probably be more focused on you on New Year's, but my guess is that you kind of have some of that, again, back to the start of this segment, alcohol-related issues. So, you know, again, stop drinking on New Year's Eve so much. As Red Green would say, you know, finding your wife on New Year's Eve, the first thing is just to stay sober so you can... So you can find her, so you can make the proper decision. Okay, what do we have next? Are we moving on?
We're moving on into parenting.
Oh, yay. All right.
Daughter 5 wants to sleep in underwear. Wife opposed. As opposed to her pajama bottoms. She doesn't want to wear her pajama bottoms.
She's going to take them off anyway, so just let her sleep how she's going to sleep. What is she?
Maybe you might want to get her some nightgowns.
Yeah, the nightgowns bunch up. If she's not happy in pajamas, she's not going to be happy in nightgown, because she's going to be uncomfortable at the bunching up, the moving around. And that's why she just wants to sleep in her underwear, because they don't, you know, it's more comfortable. Let her sleep in her underwear. She's 5. What's the big deal? Are you worried about her being cold or something?
Well, you know, in case someone came over and it's not proper attire.
Who's coming over at 3 a.m.? Walking into your child's bedroom. It's just, you got bigger problems than what she's sleeping in at that point. That's all I'm saying. Let her sleep however she's comfortable, because getting a comfortable sleep is far more important than your uncomfortableness at, you know, that twinge of uncomfortableness that is, you know, immodest or whatever it is. She's 5. Leave her alone. Okay, what's next?
Okay, my kid's friend's parents lied to me and told my kid to keep a secret. What would you do?
Depends what it is. Not all of these things. Not every battle is worth fighting. So it kind of depends what the secret is. Sometimes people are just embarrassed and they just don't want other people to know because it's embarrassing. And in that case, you just shut up. Right? Mm-hmm. And if it's something illegal or dangerous, then you deal with it, as per the case. But if it's most likely something just embarrassing, right, and in that particular case, you be quiet and pretend you don't know anything. Or if it's none of your business, you pretend you don't know anything because it's none of your business. So how's that? All right. So what's next?
7-year-old telling husband to stop talking. Yeah, they do that.
Well, and
stop talking to me.
Yeah, it's not that
they
big.
They will.
It's not that big of a deal. The question is, don't give it the power by you neither punish nor reward. You just kind of basically ignore it, right? That's kind of how you deal with it, because it's not worth punishing, but you also don't want to reward it. So there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, you can laugh at it, I suppose. It's probably the best reaction, because that's the reaction they do not want. Okay, so what's next?
How do I socialize? My kid is missing out because I'm not good at making friends. Oh, join a mother's group. There's more than one mother's group probably in your area. And you can kind of get lost in the crowd. You don't have to be all intense in making friends. You can just keep it light.
No. There's a better way to do it. Go to your local community center. They have classes and all kinds of stuff for kids. You sign them up. You get to go in. You get to drop them off. You don't have to interact with the parents or anybody else. And they got like explorer camps and all kinds of things. If you really want your kid.
So there, you have two options.
Yeah, you have two options. She didn't say she wanted to get socialized. She says she wanted to, not her, her kid to miss out on the socialization. So you put them into activities that they get to socialize, but you don't have to. At some point, you know, you may want to engage more, you know, but you can do things like take them to karate class. And I see them all the times, that karate class where the kids are in there and the parents are, you know, some parents are off in the hallway on their phone. Some parents are out in the car, you know, other parents have actually joined the class and are taking the class with their kids. There's no right or wrong way to do this. You know, sometimes the mother drops them off and the father picks them up. You know, these are the things that happen. This is, you know, you make these kind of things work. So there's all kinds of things to do. You know, the library, the community center, you know, there's nonprofits that have these kind of activities. So,
yes.
Yeah. So how's that?
Very good.
Okay. So what's next?
Am I supposed to entertain my kid all day? This is during Christmas break.
Well, no, if your kid's in school, they should be old enough to entertain themselves and keep themselves occupied for large chunks of the day. And also, this is called parenting, not entertaining. I mean, unless they're five in a kindergarten, which means you're taking care of them most of the day anyway. But yeah, it's just, what is she thinking? She's got to, like, you know, be a circus clown for them or something. And at very worst, turn on Netflix and they'll be fine. But you don't need to, quite frankly, you don't need to do nothing. Kids will entertain themselves. Give a boy a stick in a park and they'll be entertained for hours. Just saying. They have a room full of toys and she thinks she needs to entertain them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Let them be. That's my suggestion. All right, what's next?
Okay, do you remember the caller the question from last week about the lady with the 10-month-old baby who kept going into the kitchen, crawling into the kitchen, and she was baffled that the baby would not listen?
Uh-huh.
Well, the baby is now contained behind a stair gate.
Uh-huh.
Just to let you know.
Oh.
And our listeners.
Okay, so.
And she adjusted her thinking. She said, I realized I wasn't being realistic.
Yeah, well, that was the real problem, right? So there's two solutions. The baby gate, when she's doing some things that are dangerous. But, you know, you're going to want to introduce that child to the kitchen. You're also going to want to eventually have that child learn to park its curiosity. And you can't do that without practice. Now is not the time. You know, but you are going to want to open up and give them times for them to learn to resist urges. Yeah, that's a practice. That's a skill. And if you, what's one of my problems I have with people super, you know, baby proofing the house, you know, I'm not saying basic baby proofing, you know, you lock up the chemicals and stuff, but people go overboard. Well, they have no time to practice not getting into things. I want to get into that. Yeah, but you can't. And if they don't practice that, they never learn how. We now have two generations of kids who never learned how to not do things. Just saying. These things have long-term consequences. All right. What's next?
How do I tell my four-year-old daughter that me and my partner, not her biological dad, broke up?
Oh, well, that's a bummer. You at 4 years old, you're not really going to understand. You just kind of have to tell them over time that they're not going to, I mean, were they living together or were they just around a lot? You know, it really kind of depends.
They were around a lot.
Yeah. Well, then just, you're not going to see You just tell them you're not going to see them very much anymore.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
That's all you need to tell them.
That's all they're going to understand at four-year-olds anyway. So unless they're an advanced four. And if they're an advanced four and they're asking you questions, then you answer the questions as honestly as they can understand. But at four-year-olds, you just tell them. And they're going to answer why. And you just sometimes you just have to just because. And that's an answer they're going to have to learn to accept.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, at what age can you leave your kids alone in a hotel room? Now, they want to put, okay, they got like a 14-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they want to put them to bed and go down to the bar and have a drink or two and then come back up.
The 14-year-old is old enough to babysit the 9-year-old, yes. But you have to make sure it's under that parameter. You can't just leave the 14-year-old with the 9-year-old because they fell asleep. That 14-year-old just has to be put in charge of the 9-year-old so they know what they're doing. You know, maybe compensate them for something, you know, throw them $10, whatever it is, for watching their kid, for watching their brother, and you can go to the bar.
Yeah.
Why is that a hard? That's not a difficult solution. That's actually kind of an easy one. All right. All right, we're halfway through the show. We're halfway through our questions. Hey, that's actually pretty good timing there, Lovey.
You like that?
Yeah. We've gotten through it today. All right. So what do we have?
Okay, now we have work questions.
Okay.
Okay, how to put the best foot forward with a new district manager? So they have a new boss, you know, and they want to make a good impression. So generically, how do you do that?
By doing your job, realistically. I mean, the other thing you can do, do you know why people who appear to be incompetent produce move forward in companies? There's actually a reason for it, because they take on the tasks that no one else wants to. And they're always available when no one else will be. And so when those higher ups, when they think of somebody, that's who they think about, because those are the people who have taken on the tough tasks and have been there when called. So if you want to put a good impression, you know, show up on time, you do your job, and you take on tough tasks that have a high risk of failure. Even if you fail, they know you have a high risk of failure. Your willingness to take on that task is what people, is what they will think about.
Yeah.
And so if you want to succeed, if you want to impress people, be willing to take on the hard work without bitching. Do it with a smile and you will go places.
Yeah.
Because you become Mr. Reliable. You become the one people want to rely on. And if you can do it with a smile, then people will want to work with you, and you can bring up others up around you and actually change the whole culture of an organization if you really want to. Okay.
Okay, working from home, different rules for different departments. Should I voice my concerns to manager?
Well, different departments have different tasks. Different task sets require different work flows. Different workflows require, you know, different setups. So, yeah, like some jobs can be done much easier from home. You know, you can't do, let's make it obvious. Someone who works, shall we say, telephone customer service, can likely do most vast majority of their job from home. A warehouse worker can do none of their job from home. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you are working in a creative environment, you need to collaborate more. Collaboration is easier when you're together.
Mm-hmm.
If culture is important in your endeavor, you know, working together, the culture is important. Then that's far easier to manage when you're together. So the fact that different departments have different cultures, different workflows, so those cultures and workflows have different end results in you know, whether you work from home or not, is actually a sign of a healthy organization rather than a one-size-fits-all answer for everybody. That's not going to work for certain departments.
Mm-hmm.
So your answer is, if you want to have a more or less work from home environment, move to, you know, try to transfer to the departments that have the environment you want to work in. Don't treat it the other way around. right? Don't ask other, don't ask your the environment that works for others to change for you when you have other environments that you can choose from. Again, because it really depends. Customer service, yeah. Sales, yeah, you can probably work from home. But if you're a graphic designer that has to work with a script writer, that has to work with you need to work together. You have to get together at least occasionally to sit down and hammer out ideas, because those kind of conversations don't work over email and they don't work over Zoom.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, that's my answer is no. Different rules for different departments are actually probably what should be happening. Okay. What's next?
Nestle told a coworker that she has BO and she flipped out on me and called me a liar.
Well, yeah. Well, how did you really think that was going to go? Let's be honest. That was never going to go very well. You let HR deal with something like that if you can. I mean, especially when you're dealing, you can get away with that kind of thing in a warehouse or if you're working in a shop with, right? Mm-hmm. You can get away with those things with guys. You can't get away with that kind of thing with women. No, you let HR deal with that kind of thing. Should you have to? No, you should be able to deal with it yourselves, but it's like walking through a minefield. You should be able to walk through a field, but there's mines in there. You probably shouldn't. All right, so what's next?
Should I be upset about not getting a Christmas bonus?
Did you deserve one?
They usually do. They usually get one every year.
Okay.
But not this year.
So that probably means your company is not doing as well as in previous years. Mm. They may simply not have the money. Mm-hmm. Right? Because despite the fact that we think, oh, these people are all greedy, everybody's greedy. They're no more or less greedy than you are. The reality is if they had the money for Christmas bonuses, they would likely give them. They just don't have the money. Yeah. And so what you take from that is it may be time for looking for your exit, not because it's a bad place to work, but because it may not be there for long. It may not have a long-term, you may want to start thinking about that. That would be the real issue
here. Yeah.
And it's also don't count on Christmas bonuses. They're called bonuses for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you really need a college education to have a good job anymore?
You never needed a college education to have a good job. Depending upon if you're willing to do, well, A, depending upon what you define as a good job, and B, if you're willing to do, especially if you're willing to do work others or few others are. If you're willing to be a plumber, you can make a lot of money. You can make $150,000, $200,000 a year. If you're willing to be a truck driver, you can make $150,000 a year. If you're willing to work on an oil rig, you can make $200,000, $250,000, $300,000 a year. Are you willing to do that? You're willing to be an electrician, make somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000 a year. You're willing to do that. If you want to go work on the power lines, you can make a lot more than that. But are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go out in the storms and go work on electricity? Are you willing to crawl into the sewers and do those kind of work? Are you willing to go out and pound on the roof in the hot sun? So what's a good job? And yes, but the other answer is, yes, Google, Microsoft, most companies no longer require a college degree. They require experience in lieu of. So you can, now more than ever, build yourself and your career up the old-fashioned way by going out and proving your worth. The trick is, once you prove your worth in one place, to move on, because the best way to get a raise, the best way to get a promotion is to change jobs, not to be looking at your current place of employment. Yeah. Okay, next.
How do you handle interviews for new jobs while currently employed? Like, do you tell them? And
well, it depends on the culture of the place where you currently work. Some places are, you know, they know where they sit in the on the hierarchy of employment, right? They know they're a stepping stone to people better off, and they encourage you. And they're encouraging. Great. You know, you need some help interviewing, you know, they'll help you out. They'll give you tips on your resume because, you know, they want you to succeed. Other places view you as a resource, and they view you as, you know, and that they're losing a resource. And so they will, you know, be hurt or try to, you know, and so those are the ones you keep quiet. So it really just depends on the type of environment and work culture your current place of employment is. You know, mm-hmm. It's so, you know, it's one of those things, you know how your boss is. And what you do is you just take personal time. You don't have to tell them what it is. There's no legal requirement for you to have to tell them why you're taking personal time. Just tell them I need some personal time. I have errands to run. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taking a long lunch, that kind of thing, whatever it is. Okay.
Oh. When, how to talk to HR about parental leave?
Well, it depends on the policies of your company, quite frankly, and you just follow the policies of your company. But again, these things go back to it's essentially the same answer I just gave for the how do you handle interviews for jobs where you're currently employed. It entirely depends on the culture. If it's a kind of a toxic culture, you wait until the last possible minute. If it's a welcome and, you know, if it's a welcoming and encouraging culture, you tell them as soon as you want. You know, as soon as you feel it's reasonable for them to start making, you know, plans. Because they do have to make plans and adjustments and things. So you do want to be, you know, open and honest about it. But you know, it requires some judgment. That's what it requires.
Yeah.
Okay.
A legal clause in new employee contract. What to do?
Well, an illegal clause in a contract is unenforceable, so it really doesn't do all that much. I mean, it may just be one of those things where it's just left in there because no one's taken it out. That actually happens far more than you would think. You know, no one's bothered to go through and say, oops, that shouldn't be there. You know, they've been using the same documents for 15 years and they just never bothered to change it because it's never come up. So you may be surprised if you actually bring it up. They may appreciate it, you know, because they don't like to actually be violating law. You know, how you bring it up is, you know, so bring it up as cautiously as you would like. You know, don't be aggressive about it. You say, hey, I noticed this in the contract, and it's my understanding that this is not legally kind of enforceable. I'm just curious, right? And you send the just like any contract negotiation, you are negotiating your employment contract. You don't have to sign their default contract. You do get to, you know, negotiate. You know, you may have to give up something to get, you know what I mean, to get something. But you don't have to sign. Trust me, you don't have to sign their standard contract. It's not how the world works. Okay, now we're moving on.
Okay, we're moving on to our final segment, sex questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Good thing we're not on the radio yet. Some of these will get us in trouble with the FCC.
Okay.
All right.
Am I a pervert for wondering about other sex lives?
No. It's actually relatively common. You know, we're humans, we're curious things.
What are you guys doing over there?
You know,
yeah.
You know, it's a problem if you live there, and as you get older it'll decrease because you've come to find out that, quite frankly, sex is weird and you don't want to think about it too much. You don't want to think about other people's sex lives too much. You know, we don't stay young and beautiful forever. So, yeah, so there's that. Mm. Yeah, you're perfectly normal. All right, no, there we go. Okay, what's next?
How do you tactfully tell a girl she needs to wash her butt?
the same way you tactfully tell anybody you need to wash your butt. We wash your butt. I don't. Is this like a common occurrence kind of thing?
With him? With this one?
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, you start out with honey, I love you.
There you go.
But I have a request.
Yeah. See, this is one of those things which is a lot easier if it's a guy.
Dude, wash your ass.
Yeah. Dude, you clean that thing? What the fuck is up with you? Yeah. Now I'm going to have to mark this as explicit. Thank you. But but yeah, no, it's easier. This is one of these questions where it's far easier if it's a guy. But yeah, on a girl, you're going to have to. Yeah, this one's going to have to. This episode is clearly getting marked explicit. Okay. All right.
How do you ask for oral sex? Okay. He met this girl. They've been going out for a while. And everything's wonderful. But he would like, you know, a job. Thank you. And a blowjob. There we go.
Well, you don't ask for those until your relationship is actually already moved on to that stage.
Well, they're having sex, but she hasn't done that yet.
Oh, well, she may not like it.
So he doesn't want to be crude.
Yes.
But.
Well, that's why you just have the generic, what kind of sex are you interested in talk. And you work it from there. And because you're going to have to find out if that's something that she really doesn't like or just kind of quasi doesn't like. And you're going to have to accept that you're getting essentially a birthday blowjob. And that's what you're going to get, you know, or maybe there's, you know, she requires a certain scenario. Maybe she's, you know, in order for her to get worked up to that kind of thing, she needs some role play or something.
Yeah.
To engage in it. But you're never going to find out without having the generic sex talk. So in order to do that, you don't ask for the act itself. You find out what she's actually interested in. And then you create the conditions where she's more likely to give you one. Sure. Yeah. To say, even though, quite frankly, early, you know, the stereotype is it's early in the relationship is where you get those freely, and later on in the relationship is where you don't get them anymore.
Yeah.
So she's being backwards here. So it makes you think that she's just not all that into those things.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
It's not her thing.
Yeah. Or she doesn't think she's good at them, and so she doesn't like to do them without realizing that we don't really care how good you are or not at them. Quite frankly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One is better than none. A bad one is better than none. Just saying. But, you know, just, hey. All right. So what's next?
Is 69 a porn position?
No, it's terrible for camera angles and things like that. And that's what we got. 69 is one of those things that theoretically sounds great, but unless you are ergonomically correct, it doesn't work.
You gotta fit. I always had a hard time fitting. I mean, somebody who's really tall, you know. Well,
because you have to have the woman has to be short and the man has to be tall so they can fit. And it only works if she's on top. Otherwise, the man's gonna get a freaking break his neck. And so it only really works the one direction. And it's one of those things and it only works if she's short and he's tall. And so that it can kind of fit. Yeah, it just doesn't actually function.
Yeah. If that's the definition, wouldn't that, yes, be a porn position? Because people don't normally participate in it.
No, it's one of those things people try and everybody thinks, because theoretically it's great. But it's only great if you ergonomically fit. If you ergonomically fit, it's thing because everybody gets
everything. I always found it distracting.
Because you didn't ergonomically fit.
Mm.
See, when you ergonomically fit, it's not necessary. You just kind of get into it. Yeah, anyway. But it's one of those things that only works if it ergonomically fits. And since most people don't ergonomically fit, because we don't simply measure out our partners based upon whether, you know, whether our parts line up the wrong way, it's just not how it works. So no, it's not a porn position because it's terrible for camera angles and viewership and that kind of thing. But doesn't work all that well either. So how's that? Okay.
Is it possible to have an orgasm from stimulating nipples? I've heard of it.
Lots of things are possible. Is it possible? Yeah.
People. I had a friend. She had a arrangement of this sort with a gentleman who was rather skilled.
I've known women who could give themselves orgasms without touching anything.
No way.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know, but I watched it. Still don't understand it, but I watched it. So, yeah, it happens, or it can happen. Some people are able to do that, and then there's others who, you know, struggle to have an orgasm despite all kinds of machinations, and for whatever reason.
So sad.
So, you know, it's the wonderful and sometimes tragic, you know, spectrum of humanity. It just is what it is. Okay, what's next?
With a new girl I like a lot, having sex together first time this week, and anxious about being inexperienced.
Well, the only way to get through the anxiousness about being inexperienced is to get experience. And guess what, sunshine, your new person that you're in, you're always going to have that anxiety the first time, which oddly enough makes
with the
first,
new person, yeah,
which makes it first time, it heightens to the sensations of the first time. So
it really does.
And you know, think of it this way, you have to learn a new partner anyway, and
you
so
really
the less
do.
So the less habits you have developed from previous partners, the more open-minded you are to learn the proper habits for your current partner. So you are an open slate to learn how to, you know, to be her partner. So think of it that way.
That's kind of romantic when you put it like that.
I have my moments. Since I have a lot of them, but I have them. So, yeah. So, you know, try to alter your perspective on this. And before we get to our last two questions, I want to remind everybody you can send us your questions at tolove@latenightlove.us, and we will discuss them on the air. You can also go to latenightlove.us, and there's a contact form on the page. You can send it to us that way. Or you can, you know, post your question on our Facebook page if you are that, shall I say, open about the desire to get your questions answered. All right, so what do we have? We got two questions left, my love.
Okay. Boyfriend finds it easier to masturbate than have sex. This is what he told her.
Well, it is easier. I mean, he's technically correct. It's easier. That's the only thing it is. It's easier. But yeah. Maybe what he's actually saying is she's difficult.
Is that her fault?
It could be. It may not be, but it could be.
Maybe she's hard to get off.
Or maybe she's turned him down a lot, so when she's when she wants to, he's just no longer interested because he's shut off.
Yeah.
And so now they've changed habits, and he just doesn't want to have that, you know, he's tired of getting rejected. He never knows. And so now he's turned off. It's, you know, there's how you got there where that's an answer for him is, right? Because, well, it is technically easier, right? But if that was the answer for humanity, we wouldn't have humanity, right? So there's something else, right? Because we as men, you know, easy doesn't replace actual sex, right? We can do both for the most
both.
You know, we're capable of doing both, especially in our younger years. But even when we're older, you know, it just takes longer between both. That's all. we can still do both. Right?
Yeah.
And so what he's actually saying, it's not that it's easier to masturbate. He's finding having relations with her is difficult. And so why he's finding having the relations with her is difficult is a different question. Is he unattracted to her? Is she a bit of a shrew? Has he been rejected so much that he just has decided that it's no longer worth the effort? You know? I don't know. But that's how you get there. And so it is what it is. All right. Last question for the night.
Anyone else finish progressively faster the more you have sex with a specific person? Well, yeah, because you know how to push their buttons, man.
Yeah. But the problem with that is you have a habit of it becoming routine. But, hey, you know, ruts are fine, but, you know, you want to get out of them every now and again.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but, yeah, you know our combination, so you don't no longer fumble around with the, right? You no longer, oh, damn it, that's not the right combo. Oh, damn it, that's not the right combo. Oh, damn it, that's not the right combo. But the problem is we forget that, you know, stumbling around, not finding finding the wrong combos can be fun in and of itself. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We forget about that because, you know, in our busy lives, you just kind of habitually fall into what works. Because why not? It works. But on occasion, you want to fail. Because, you know, you can find something else that works. You can find a different combination that also works. You know, so again, I don't necessarily mind ruts. I think ruts can be overrated, but get out of them every now and again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one danger with that. But no, the fact that you're progressively faster just means you're better at it in a sense, but you're better at that. So go try something else. There's my suggestion for that answer. All right, that's it for us tonight. We want to thank you for hanging around. Was there another call? Was that one?
Okay. Yeah. How do I have interaction choice on these guys? Viagra and the Viagra. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
okay,
how do you?
All right.
Well, that's a wrong reaction. So stop taking Viagra. Because that's a reaction that shouldn't happen. So actually, you should probably discuss that with a doctor. That means there's something not functioning properly down in that area. Mm-hmm. Right? If the Viagra is giving a reaction and then it's not supposed to get, don't take it and discuss that with your doctor. I'm not even going to touch anything else on that question because that is an important part to answer on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't take Viagra without having a discussion with your doctor, and you should probably not take it, but I'm not a doctor. But that would, the problem with that one is the reaction. Mm-hmm. Deal with the other question later. Deal with the health issue first. We will always, always tell you that. All right. For me and Lubby, we want to thank you for being with us. Again, you can find us at latenightlove.us. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, and Facebook. And you can always send us your questions to love@latenightlove.us, and we will answer you here. From me and Lubby, we want to thank you for joining with us. This was show 199, so we're at 200 next week. See if we have something unique, new, special, or not. You never know with us.
We don't know.
Because we don't know, so you don't know until we get there. We will see you next week. Good night, and please remember to love everybody.
Good night.